leave with a seed of hope, and may everyone act on the word of the Lord that they receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Although they are mere mortals, mothers are those who carry the seed for the move of God. Mothers are those who carry the seed for the move of God. Yes, you can put up the title. So if you're taking notes, the title of our message this morning is The Move of God in Jars of Clay. The Move of God in Jars of Clay. It's been a crazy morning. We've had a lot of technical difficulties. I took the wrong laptop with my notes. That was just crazy. AV stuff wouldn't work. And usually when everything goes wrong, I think it's because it's going to be a great service. Amen. And the devil doesn't like it. I don't know what you came this morning expecting. If you came expecting nothing, just to come, I say this is an opportunity to reset right now and expect something. Expect a word. Expect something that's going to change how you think, how you feel, and how you act. Because how we expect from God impacts what we carry and what we're able to use. So I'm just encouraging you this morning to have an expectant heart that God will do something, because God understands every one of us's situation. So, see, this is the problem of not having a hard Bible. Everything's on the phone. I'm going to share from the book of John. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. And apparently, the Greek for woman does not denote any disrespect. Just a side note. "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used for the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Apparently that was about 75 to 115 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So we come across a wedding ceremony where Jesus, his mother, and his disciples are on the guest list. A major problem arises. They run out of alcohol. Some probably didn't care. Others were probably disappointed, and maybe others were frustrated that they had run out of wine. Either way, there was a problem that Mary, the mother of Jesus, helped to solve through the help of her son, of course. My question to you this morning is this: what kind of carrier do you want to be? What kind of mother, and I'm using that word loosely, what kind of mother do you want to be? I would like us to look at the type of mother that Mary was. First thing, I want to talk about Mary's perception. Mary was sensitive to what was happening around her. You see, I doubt that Mary was sitting at the drinks bar at this wedding, waiting to find out whether the alcohol had run out or not. I doubt it. I don't think that's what she was there for. However, she was very much sensitive to the environment, and she had her pulse on what was going on in her environment. She had a sensitivity. You see, she had a sensitivity about what was going on in the physical. If we are going to be carriers of hope, then we must, regardless of what's going on in our world, be sensitive to what's going on in our physical and in our spiritual environment. And this is why. Not only did Mary have a sensitivity to what was going on in her environment, but she also stood in the gap. So we must stand in the gap. So number one, Mary's perception. She was able to perceive what was going on. She was sensitive to her environment. Number two, Mary stood in the gap. You see, Mary listened to the desires of the people around her. She would have to have been listening in order to be able to be that person who stood in the gap. I don't know if she was a wine drinker. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. You see, one of the common things I hear is, learn to mind your own business. Have you ever heard that? People say that all the time.
People say that to me all the
time. Mind your own business. Now, as nice as that sounds, I think sometimes we can take it a bit too far. Sometimes we mind our own business too much. And sometimes that can be an excuse to not get involved in the lives of people because we're minding our own business and we don't want to interfere. But I think there was something special about Mary, is that Mary was a connection between the people who had a need and the miracle worker. Connection between the people who needed something and the miracle worker. I'm asking you this morning, do you know that you are the connection? Because you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are that connection between the people and the miracle worker. Mary took a position of an advocate. She went to advocate. She went to advocate for the people. You are the one who advocates. You are the one who stands in the gap. You are the intercessor. She took it upon herself. She had to make that decision to get involved. So they say, mind your own business. I say, stop minding your own business so much. Just food for thought. For Mary to be able to play that role of an advocate, she had to know her identity. She had to know who she was. Because when you know your identity, then you know what authority you have. And when you know what your authority is, then you know what seeds of hope to plant. And I believe that Mary understood this. When I talk about knowing your identity and Mary knowing her identity, I'm not saying she had to know that she was the mother of Jesus. Yes, she was the mother of Jesus, and that's who she was. That was her identity. But more than that, she was the mother of the Son of God. That knowledge of that identity. So you might have different identities that you might identify with. Oh, you might say, I'm a sister, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, you know, I'm a worker. There's so many different things you could identify. But I'm talking about knowing your identity in Christ. Because that identity is the thing that differentiates you from the next person. Unless, of course, they also know Christ. Because when you know your identity, that will influence the choices that you make in terms of the influence that you have in people's lives. So we have to know our identity. If we are going to be carriers of hope, then we must stop minding our own business, like I said. You know, Mary said something very interesting. She said, do whatever he tells you. You have to have absolute confidence in someone to say something like that. I don't think she was just saying that because Jesus was her son. Do whatever he tells you. This brings me to my next point. Mary was a believer. She was a believer. Not only did she stand in the gap for the people, but she was a believer. That's why she was able to say, do whatever he tells you. You know, as a professional, quite often when people come in, you know, for our services, you do an assessment and you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to refer someone on. But when you do a referral of someone to someone else, you're basing it on the fact that I have looked at what the presenting issues are and I've done all I can and I've realized there's only so much that I can do. But there is someone else who can do a better job because they are an expert in that area. I don't think that Mary referred the people to Jesus because she thought he was an expert in the wine list. I don't think so. I think that she referred them to Jesus also not because he was her son, but because she knew he was the miracle worker. She knew that if there was a problem to be solved, he was the person to solve that problem. Do whatever he tells you. If we're going to be carriers of hope, then we must get very good at pointing people over to the one who is known as the way, the truth, and the life. We have to get very good at that. I think sometimes one of the struggles we have when we're dealing with people who are struggling with something is that we think that we have to solve the problem. But what we really have to get good at is redirecting them, is referring them on, is to say, look, I can't help you with what you're dealing with, but I know someone who can. And I'm not just talking about people who don't know Christ. I'm talking about people who know Christ, because even as Christians, we have our own struggles. Even as Christians, we struggle and sometimes we get confused. We're thinking, you know, and it's faulty thinking that, you know, I shouldn't be going through this, right? But we know the Bible tells us that you will have troubles, right? Whether you're a Christian or not, you will face troubles. So as Christians, we also need to be able to redirect our fellow brothers and sisters, because sometimes what happens is people get weary. And when they get weary, they forget their connection with God. And so it becomes our job to redirect them back. Recently, I was driving behind a truck, and there was about six or so, I'm just saying six because, you know, that's just what I thought it was. There was about six bottles or containers of water with lids on, and they were full. And I thought to myself, as I looked at those containers, it just dawned on me that, you know, once those containers are full, that's it. They cannot receive any more water. They can't be used for anything else until that water that is in there is actually used up. Jesus asked for the jars to be filled to the brim. Then he asked for the wine to be scooped out of those jars. And I thought, you know, I'll just highlight a few key points that I want to share from this. You cannot put water in a jar that is already full. You can try, but it's pointless. It's already full. I believe that a lot of us have a problem of being used by God because we don't realize that we are actually full. We are full of the things of God and ready to be used. The water is full to the brim and ready to be scooped up. And God is able to move in jars of clay because we are already full of his word, his promises, his encouragement, his joy, his peace, all the things that the world needs. We are already full of them. But sometimes we don't realize that and we keep seeking for more and more. The second thing I wanted to highlight was this. A lot of us are already full of everything else but what God wishes for us. So on the one hand, we are full of the things of God. On the other hand, we are full of the issues of life. You know, I believe that we have people who have a problem of being used by God because we have parked at a place called disappointment. A place called disappointment. We got there and we parked and we have not moved. I recently discovered while I was doing my research that there's a place in New Zealand called Disappointment Island. Did anyone know that? Anyone from New Zealand? You knew that? Okay. There you go. And I think there's somewhere else where they have Disappointment Island, but the one I found was New Zealand. And apparently, it was called that because of there was a lack of resources, that's one, and that's just what, there's speculation there, so don't quote me 100%. Lack of resources in that place, and also frequent shipwrecks.
It's called the bag.
Due to a lack of resources, for our needs, and due to trials and tribulations, which are like frequent shipwrecks, we are disappointed. We feel helpless, we feel hopeless about the future, and we interpret that as having nothing to give. When in fact, it's more that we got stuck there and have not moved since. You know, one of my favorite people to listen to is Christine Kane. She's an Australian preacher. I think she lives in Sydney or America, I'm not sure. But anyway, Christine Kane, in one of her devotionals, she said this. It's based on a book she wrote called Unexpected. And it's just about the things that happen when life is unexpected. She said, we move on in years, but our life often stops at the point of our greatest disappointment. We move on in life, in years, but our life often stops at the point of our greatest disappointment. And I just want to ask you this morning, where do you sit with what I'm saying right now? I would bet almost 100% that everyone in this room has been disappointed one way or another. You've been hurt, you've been offended. Something's happened that has led you to be disappointed. But the question is, has your life stopped there? If you think back to that disappointment or to multiple disappointments, because often there's more than one, and they just pile up, and then there's grief upon grief upon grief, which when it is not dealt with, it just becomes resentment, bitterness, disappointment, and we just park there. Now, the problem with a parked car or parked vehicle is it can't move. It can't move. I said the title of my message was The Move of God. In jars of clay. We are like those jars of clay. We're mortal. We're to be molded. But God wants to move through you and I. He's not going to be able to move if we have parked. The problem with parking somewhere because of disappointment is quite often we will not admit it. Because of fear, because of denial, because of justification. We think we have every right to be parked there. We say, you don't know my story. We say, my situation is different. You say, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what I've been through. So I have every right to be parked where I'm parked. But the thing is, God knows you better. You know, one thing Pastor Stephen likes to talk about is grave sites. He shared the story about how he went to a grave site of, I think, one of his relatives. And as he sat there, he reflected on how talented this particular relative was. But they died young. They died unfulfilled. And for a lot of us, This is the potential that on our grave sites will be those unspoken words, those businesses that were never started, those books that were never written, those songs that were never sung, those messages that were never preached, because we parked at a place called disappointment. You see, Jesus asked for jars to contain the water. He asked for something, containers to contain the water, because he knew what was needed to perform the miracle of the wine. Jars of clay. You are uniquely created to carry certain seed for certain miracles. You see, a lot of us don't believe that. A lot of us have been through so much in life that we don't believe that we are unique. You know, it always fascinates me. It's interesting that lady was talking about twins. It always fascinates me with identical twins that apparently they have different fingerprints. Is that correct? That's fascinating. I don't see how you cannot see that there's a creator with that kind of information. They are identical to us, but not to God. You see, because he created them with separate fingerprints, because we are unique. The problem is, I don't think we realize that we are unique. We think, oh, I'm just another woman. I'm just another human being. I'm just another father. I'm just another mother. There's many out there. You see, we've been saying to each other, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day. But what we don't realize is that each mother mothers differently. And each mother mothers differently because they've been uniquely gifted by God for the role that they play. Whether it's with your biological children or spiritual children. And I appreciate that for some, Mother's Day is a difficult time because of whatever reason, you had a very maybe negative relationship with your mother, or your mother is no longer here. But this morning, I just wanted to encourage us to look at motherhood from a different perspective. Not just motherhood because you bore a child, but motherhood because you are a carrier of hope. But the only way we're going to believe that we're carriers of hope is when we understand we are uniquely made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our job is to believe the word of God. Mary was a believer. I'll just get the band up, and I just want to pose this question. I'll just get the keyboard in particular playing. Yes, thank you, Kieran. I've got this question. You see, a mother is a carrier. You decide what happens to what you carry by the decisions you make. In the words of Kristen Kane again, will you shrink back in fear or will you rise up in faith? She says, one will keep you where you are and the other one will deliver you to your future. One will keep you where you are. The other will deliver you to your future. I would like you to ask yourself this question. Now, even though it's Mother's Day, I'm talking to everyone in the room, male and female. Ask yourself this question. Am I truly empty and without anything to give, without anything to offer this world? Or am I a carrier of hope, full to the brim, with the grace of God, full to the brim with the fruit of the Spirit, full to the brim with the gifts of the Spirit, and have actually just decided to park at a place called disappointment. I just want to take this opportunity to just pray for people, because it's one of my favorite things, praying.